Thank you, everyone, for listening to Thank You for Being a Podcast. We are the Golden Girls Podcast, in which we watch an episode of the Golden Girls, and then we break it down scene by scene like crazy people. I'm Anthony DeSamito.
I'm Genevieve Rice.
And today,
and I'm Ronnie D.
And Ronnie D is here. Yay!
Yay!
Ronnie, thank you so much for being here. Well, being in Phoenix, I'm in LA. We're doing this magically through technology, but thank you for being with us. If that's how you use words. just thanks. Just know we are grateful.
Thank you for having me.
So, Ronnie, we watched an awesome episode, but before we begin recapping, we always like to ask our guest, what is their Golden Girls background? How has Golden Girls affected your life, if any affection at all? Go ahead.
Okay, it's a great question. I was talking to Genevieve about that earlier. When I was younger, I did happen to watch Golden Girls, and we kind of mused on the Empty Nest spinoff as
yeah,
well.
We both watched Empty Nest like every Saturday night.
We were cool back then, just like we're cool now.
Mm-hmm. Watched Empty Nest, Golden Girls, Nurses, wow. Sisters.
So it's been a while. It's been a really long while since I've actually watched any Golden Girls. So I would say probably last serious watching was undergraduate school and college, so it's been a while.
Wow.
I had a it's been a while. A best friend who was really into the Golden Girls, and he would come over to my dorm and we would watch it, and I was usually like sewing some silly little outfit for a rave or something, and he'd get so mad at me because he couldn't hear the dialogue. So
you were sewing too loud.
Yeah, stop sewing so loud. But it was a good time to make clothes because you're so inspired by the style. So
when I was a kid, I used to knit all the time. I used to knit, like, I remember like episodes. I'm like, oh, that was when I was making a cheerleading sweater for my parties. That was when I was knitting some pants for Ken for some reason.
I would love to see what knitting this episode would have inspired.
So you would be making outfits while watching Golden Girls or other TV shows with your friend?
Yes, yes.
Awesome.
So it's been a while.
Was there recreational drug use as well?
Well, you know what, Anthony? the outfits were definitely a precursor to that, you know?
Oh, okay. All right.
And there was, you know, and this is in the older, in my golden years of watching the Golden Girls. Yes, there was probably at least some cannabis, maybe a little vodka. But when I was younger, no, you know, that was straight sober watching of the Golden Girls.
We do have a lot of cops listening. So.
Shout out to our boys in blue.
Hey.
And girls in blue, too.
Very good call. But I'm not advocating. I mean, the Golden Girls is tonight. We're enjoying water on my end.
I'm living it up. I got some Diet Dr. Pepper.
So. Oh wow! And,
yeah,
I am drinking Arrowhead water.
Ooh,
yeah, a whole.
I think that's
bottle
from Missouri.
Of it. Yeah, well, it doesn't say what no. state, but it definitely looks pretty boring, like Missouri.
Dissing real hard on Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri, take that. I'm kidding. I've never even been. I'm sure it's great. So we watched two episodes this lovely evening, and it's a two-parter. So we're just gonna do like we're gonna talk about it as one, and we watched Sick and Tired. It's actually the first and second episode of season 5. So we're in season 5 now. Yay!
Yay! Yeah, new intro and everything.
Yeah. Was it a new intro?
Like, there were like new, like all the characters had like new scenes where they look at the camera and smile.
Oh, and fuck, I didn't even notice.
Like Blanche has an all gold outfit that she's in. They added a scene where they're all in front of the piano. There's one where Sophia is like throwing her arms up. It's pretty great.
That's so Sophia.
Yeah. I watched it on YouTube because I forgot to order the DVD. So I watched it like it was like flipped over, like everything was like not upside down, but like the other, like the vertical flip, you know?
Oh. And
so I just didn't grasp that there was like a new intro.
It must have been hell over there, Anthony, on YouTube.
It was terrible. There was like code in the background. It was really weird. I watched, there was like code running up and down in the background. Jeez,
oh my God.
It was
weird. Did you watch like an episode of Halt and Catch Fire instead?
Yeah. I think I watched an episode of The Wire.
oh my God.
And so.
Were there ads before?
There was no ads. There was no ads, but I think there was a pop-up.
Okay. Yeah. I was curious what they were marketing through your
watching
the Golden Girls.
I think like car seats or something. And then
they're like, this person needs a car seat.
And then it was like, and then Genevieve, you were right. It was high-pitched. It wasn't slowed down. It was like sped up. So I watched these two episodes.
I know my Golden Girls YouTube. So
I watched these two episodes in 15 minutes. It was really fast. and so the episodes are called Sick and Tired episodes, part one and part two. And the original air date is September 23rd and September 30th. They came out. They really made people wait. Like, they made them wait a week to find out if Dorothy was going to fucking die. Anyway.
I know.
Like, for a week.
I have a little PTSD from this episode.
So we'll get into that. I kind of, like, jumped ahead on the
theme. Yeah, you kind of stepped on my synopsis.
I know. I'm sorry. Okay, so as we do with every episode, Genevieve is going to give us a brief synopsis of what happened for the listener who wasn't here. Go ahead, Genevieve.
All right. Dorothy has a mysterious illness, and apparently she's had it for months, and she's very tired. She has swollen glands. And she just doesn't feel like herself. She's forgetting things. She's confused. And so she goes and sees a series of doctors, all male. Mm-hmm. None of them take her seriously, except for Dr. Harry Weston, our friend from Empty Nest.
Holla!
Yeah. Yeah, he takes her seriously. And she gets diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. And Blanche becomes a writer.
So that's exactly what happens. Thank you, Genevieve. Very, very lovely synopsis. And so if you're a listener and you haven't watched these episodes, we kind of spoiler alert, told you what happened kind of, but I'm sure you're not gonna watch these if you're already listening to this. So we start off first episode, we start off with Blanche is I forgot how she got inspired to become a writer, but she all of a sudden wants to be like a great Southern romance writer, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she's like, she was like, my life has been so sexual and I've had so many conquests that I could put all of these into like one book, kind of how they wrote like Push by Sapphire. Like,
yeah, exactly like Push.
That is on the required reading list for the podcast.
Yes. Yes. Did you watch Precious, Ronnie?
I did not. I'm so behind on modern culture.
I have read the Wikipedia page twice. So the plot summary, and I know a little bit of what's going on.
Right.
So
yeah.
I knew that it was not a movie that I wanted to watch, but I wanted to understand.
So. Right. So basically the book Push, which is what Precious is based on, it's just like a bunch of horrible things happened to like young black women, and they wrote a book, and they all happened to one person, and which is terrible. So like this one black girl, all these horrible things happened to her that would never happen to any individual.
So the book is like vignettes from, yes, like different people, and the movie, it's all one person.
No, the book is just like the movie. It's like
oh, okay.
But the stories were based on different girls, and they just wrote one character to get AIDS and to have a mongoloid baby, and to like, I say that because the name of the baby is
that's what they called the baby. That's what they said according to the Wikipedia. That's what they called the baby in the movie.
And so this is going to be Blanche's Push by Sapphire, basically. And so Dorothy, it has been sick. She's been sick for like several months, right?
Yeah. She said like 4 or 5 months. Like she's been feeling ill. And she comes in and from class, and she says she was so tired she couldn't even speak.
Yeah.
Typing class, mind you.
Yeah, she said they were just they were all high from the whiteout in typing class, which I remember very well. I remember the ban on whiteout.
Oh jeez, yeah. The markers too.
Yeah. Like,
there was a ban.
I also remember there was a ban on whiteout because people sniff it.
Everyone was getting high on indelible markers and whiteout.
Yeah. And whiteout, you can also, you can use it to make French tips for your nails. So,
oh, French tip on your fingernails?
Yeah. So, okay. It's a nice solution to that.
Computers were the solution.
Oh, yeah. With computers, it was mouse balls. People would steal them.
Oh. What did they do with them?
I think just have them. I think they just hoard like the mouse balls. So like one day they just took all the mouse balls out, and like we actually had no mice. We just like, it was weird.
We just stared at the computer. We didn't work with it.
Mouse balls?
You know, like a computer mouse, like a pointer and stuff like that.
Okay. So like little, like where the balls go in the mouse.
Yeah, so like you would, so that would kind of be how you would move it around, but like,
right,
they just took away all of our mouse balls, so they also just took away all of our mice, really, and so we had to just use the up and down arrow keys.
Oh. It was hell.
So yeah. What were you guys doing to the mouse balls? You were like shoving them up your
balls? I never did this. I want to be very clear about it, but people would steal them. They would steal them, and then they would just, I don't know, sell them on the market. I don't know.
Someone somewhere has like a stockpile of mouse balls from Oklahoma.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, just necklaces made out of
storage shed. Somewhere they're gonna open it up.
I can't imagine someone not doing something incredibly perverted to those balls.
Well, oh. Yeah, there's definitely some things you could do.
Oh yeah, yeah. I could think of a few. Yeah.
Etsy.
Let's all close things. Our eyes and think about perverted things you could do with mouse balls.
Oh man. Okay, so Blanche is sort of like Dorothy's dying, and Blanche is just like, well, you're dying, like you're really sick, my character in my book is also gonna be sick. Like she doesn't really like give a fuck about Dorothy. She's like, inspired by her illness.
Blanche is dramatic when it's something that happens to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it didn't happen to her, it's muted colors, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's a peacock, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like she's like, oh, Dorothy's dying. What an attention whore. I'm going to like try mm-hmm. and get more attention. Like, how dare she die and be more dramatic than me?
I know. I mean, she could have used it as inspiration for her story.
Very true.
I think she was trying to. Okay.
The erotic natures of... severe illness.
Who know what this book was about?
This book we'll is going to be called.
Oh, yeah.
This book is going to be called "Romancing the Fatigue Syndrome." It's going to be
okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Anthony.
I was going to be like, wah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just wondering if you were. I was curious because. Both Genevieve and I and Jeff heard when she was reading from that novel that inspired her,
Lady Chatterley's Lover,
that a line about her milking it. Did you hear the same thing?
Oh, wow. Milking. I don't know if I heard the milking part.
Because when she reread it, she didn't say it. But the first time she said it, it sounded like
she milked. She milked and it was like she melted.
Yeah, and it was like, no, she said she milked it.
Well, that's crazy. I did not hear that. No.
If you guys listening out there heard milked, let us know.
Yeah, so we're not just all, solidarity. Like, three perverts in one room. Oh.
Yes, she was making a metaphor for jizz. I'm assuming. Or boob milking. I went straight to jizz.
Also, I don't know at that age, though. Is that... Yeah. Well, but we don't know what the age was of the writer of the inspirational novel.
It's also not just something that happens spontaneously to women of any age, really. I mean... It's like she was a new mom and her milk had come in. And
we want to make sure we're appropriate here because we don't want people to assume that women can make milk at any time.
The main character is a cow.
That's what they don't let us know. So she was getting Rose to help her write this one.
It's like The Sixth Sense. At the end, it turns out that the character is a cow. The whole time
there are all these clues, like all the time.
What's that bell? I keep hearing this bell.
It keeps mooing all the time.
They keep yanking white stuff out of my tits.
She was moaning. Or should I say mooing? Tried hard to tip her over.
Mooning. Yeah. Oh man. So then Dorothy's going to go to the doctor and she goes to the doctor is lo and behold, the fucking dad from Arrested Development.
Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah. I was like, surprised.
Yeah. And, I think he's a guy that looks better old. Like we had a theory that like basically like Jeff actually said it that he had the opposite of Benjamin Button disease where he just always looks the same. Just, like his whole life is just like he just came out of the womb like bald.
But yeah, like he was like a handsome Benjamin Button. Like you get handsomer as you get like all gray. Ooh, excuse me.
Yeah,
I think he just kind of just grew into his face. Like you know how some people do that, like they just get weirdly handsomer mm-hmm. or something.
I agree. I wonder. Yeah, it was really weird to see him, you know, young, quote unquote young, but he looked old. And so his character is very like he's like starstruck. I think, by a Saudi Arabian king that he just saw.
That's right.
For some reason, the Saudi Arabian king was in Miami and had to go to a doctor. Like,
that seems legit. That seems like something that would happen.
I wonder what his ailment was.
Probably
too much oil.
He drank too much oil. he's wearing too much gold, and it's
his neck is hurting.
His necklace is his neck is hurting from all the gold jewelry he's wearing. Now we're just stereotyping, but
yeah, we're sorry. We really shouldn't.
Let's get back on the farm where it's sexy.
this is not about this.
Let's get back to the farm and the mouse balls and really just keep it clean, okay?
Mouse balls.
Keep it appropriate.
Okay, so then he's like, "There's nothing wrong with you. You need to go see this neurologist in New York." So he refers to him. He refers her. I call Dorothea him. He refers Dorothy to that asshole New York doctor, because apparently they went to school together, right? But he didn't know that his friend became a douchebag, apparently.
Or maybe he's okay with it.
Yeah. I mean, he's kind of a douchebag. Mm-hmm. He's not the worst douchebag in this episode, for sure. But like,
he's like the fluffer, the douchebag fluffer. He gets you ready for the real asshole.
I wanted to dislike this character, but he was like, all I could see is the Arrested Development dad. And so, I didn't dislike him as much as I would originally dislike a character like this. And he's like, and then, there's this weird part where Sophia's like, "My daughter is not mental." And she's like really violent about it. She's she was really against her daughter having a mental illness. Did you guys think that was kind of weird?
She definitely was like very adamant about it, but like, that's kind of a normal thing. Like, I mean, people of a certain generation, like,
that's very true.
Like, probably Dorothy's generation and older, like, do not see psychiatrists. Like, they think that's just for, like basically, like, in Sophia's time, like, seeing a psychiatrist would mean that they drill holes in your brain so the demons will
take up half your brain out.
Yeah.
Remove your womb.
Remove the evil spirits.
She's hysterical.
There's demons inside that head of yours. Yeah. Or that,
but it was also kind of nice though too, because she's just like, "No, believe my daughter. Like, she's not crazy. Like, she knows that she's sick." And to me, I was like, "Yeah, go mom." I felt warm and fuzzy about it.
Yeah, she wasn't really. I mean, but it was like, well, she could have. You know, it could be a combination of the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
which is always emotional and physical. They go hand in hand.
Yeah,
this is going to be a very educational like episode.
I think back then, like, in order to be mentally ill, you had to be, like, really, really, like, mentally ill. Like
in Sophia's days or in Golden Girls days?
You had to be, like running around with a knife to get committed. Or else you were just like, they're just slow. You know? Like,
I think that's the benefit of nowadays. Nowadays, you can just be fun size mentally ill.
So the next scene was like this segue scene before they leave to New York, and they're like having a barbecue. Dorothy's sick, but she can still hang out at the barbecue, you know,
and still look good every single time. Like, so put together.
Dorothy looks great throughout this episode.
Mm-hmm. I'm hating my style looking at Dorothy. Very inspired.
You're the most fabulous fatigue syndrome person ever. She's like, you're owning it. You're you should be like the spokesperson for fatigue syndrome. You look so good. She's like, I'm
so many buttons, and she can still button them up, and she's so tired.
I thought you said Benjamin Button.
Button, you were back.
We're one.
She can still button.
What was up with that? I started getting angry because that reminded me, because I'm like, oh, sexy Benjamin Button. And he was like trying to tell her, the doctor's trying to tell her that maybe she's like, she hasn't had a man in a while and maybe that was her problem.
I thought it was going to hit on her.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought it, because he was moving real close and I was like, no.
You guys
I
are,
was like, and
I, you guys are, I'm hearing fragments of what you're saying. I don't know. Okay. Just.
We're getting maybe too excited. Sorry.
Yeah, I
getting
know.
Getting angry at men no. and excited at maybe, the same time.
Speak into the phone a little bit.
Okay. More. I was backed up.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I heard.
All right.
Whatever you said, I'm sure it was really funny. And I will laugh at it when I edit okay. it.
All right. Can you hear us now?
It's better a little bit.
Okay.
All right. So they decide to go to New York, and Dorothy's going to take Rose with her instead of Blanche. That's kind of an issue for a hot minute, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I think she made the right choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Blanche kind of, you know, was busy trying to write a book. And then Blanche called herself a candy stripper. And like, and Dorothy was like, and that is like, it's called a candy striper. And I think that didn't get as many laughs as I think it should have. Cause I thought that was a really funny joke.
That was really good. Yeah. Yeah, but I bet Blanche, I bet she just went around to different hotel rooms and just stripped off her candy striper uniform. And that was what she did at the hospital.
Okay. And so was it the first doctor that told her she needs to be with a man, or the New York doctor?
No, the first doctor, second doctor, tells her that she's old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember, you're not 30. Yeah. Is that what he said?
Yeah. You're not 30 anymore.
You're too tired. I forget exactly what he says, but he's like, Dorothy explains, I've been to two psychiatrists and he told me that it's not a mental problem. Also my mother. And,
yeah, she's got a note from her mom.
Mom says I'm not crazy.
And then he says that psychiatrists are not scientific. That psychiatry is not a mm-hmm. science, which is a lie. It is like, who are you to say these things?
No, this guy's the worst.
Yeah.
He's
like, go see them, but then I'm still going to negate their findings. So...
Yeah, yeah, he's like, maybe you need to go to the beauty salon and change your hair color. My wife became a blonde.
Oh, of course. Yes.
And his wife was
perked
blonde.
Her right up.
It's all women need, you know. Oh, I lost this arm. You need some highlights.
Yeah, I think that was like the way to like cure problems for women in the 80s was like, just become a blonde. Yeah.
It's a tanning bed and some sunning.
You have AIDS? Become a blonde. Wait, that's how you got AIDS.
Oh, no. Then it's just summer fun AIDS.
I want to see like...
Blondes have more fun?
Blondes have more AIDS.
More AIDS.
Blondes have more penises. I want to see like what's the... like... I think, like, do blondes have more STDs? And if so, I think that could merit...
We're getting into some dangerous territory that we might not... We have some blonde listeners, I'm sure. So we might not want to go here. So we apologize to our blonde populace. So
I don't apologize. I'm kidding. I'm sorry we offended all of our blonde AIDS listeners. and so that doctor is terrible, And so Dorothy, like, I don't know, he like kind of runs her out of the office, or, you know, he just like,
I know,
pisses me off.
I mean, they, and she went to another side of the country, basically. She, I mean, I don't know, plane ride from Miami to New York is not exactly inconsequential, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Rose's, and Rose has never been to New York before.
Yeah. She was kind of the big, she called it the big potato. Yeah. She was startled by the tomato juice that was $6. A small glass of tomato juice was $6. I'm like, yeah, that's how much it doesn't even cost that much here. Like, isn't it like $4?
It's hotel, New York hotel prices. That's, unfortunately, I think that's probably pretty accurate, even for 1989.
Yeah, so, I wonder what inflation today, what would it be? So anyone in New York, please let us know.
Yeah, write in and tell us about your
tomato juice.
Small glass of tomato juice.
We can also like go to the, we could call the hotel, a hotel in New York, and find out.
Just, oh man, one. We're going real hard with this.
We just want to know.
Someone call up the Waldorf Astoria and ask them.
Or we can tweet at what is it? The Waldorf
Astoria.
Historia.
I think that's a fabulous idea.
Yeah. And so they go back to the Waldorf, and the Dorothy's like, she starts crying on Rose, and Rose, you know, she thinks she's crying because of King Kong.
Yeah, because Rose had like a really active day. Rose went to Bloomingdale's, the store, she specifies, and then she also went to the Empire State Building, and she was concerned that King Kong wasn't killed by the fall.
Yeah. I think he would have like at least broken his neck or back.
Yeah.
Well, his heart was already broken. So yeah. He had already suffered enough.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So she thought Dorothy was crying because of the plot of King Kong. But no, she's crying because she still can't figure it out and figure out what's wrong. So fuck that shit. And so they go back to Miami, and nothing gets resolved in the first episode. They just like, Dorothy's just fucking in bed, and everyone is just talking about what if Dorothy dies, and then the episode just sort of ends.
Yeah, I was telling Genevieve, I said, because usually I get the Sunday blues, like it gets a little sad for me on Sunday, and I kind of like think about depressing things, and mortality is one of them. And I was like, oh, this will be great. I'm going over to watch the Golden Girls. We'll joke and we'll watch this. And it was like so intense. I was like, well, thanks, Genevieve. Thanks, Anthony. So it is good that we watched the second episode, because I would have gone home after that going, oh my goodness gracious.
Would you have watched the second episode if you just like went home?
I think I would have to, because that was just too much to leave with.
Yeah, like we don't want people to like listen to this episode and then kill themselves.
There was a lot of suicide.
Yeah,
like from Rose talking about jokes and
to die after whenever episodes.
Oh, yeah, that's
a death heavy, very death heavy. Like even the side stories about the guy suffocating in the coffin and like,
oh my god,
killing themselves. I was just so much death in this episode.
Yeah, and then the other guy like killing himself in front of everybody because he didn't. I mean, he probably but like he was like, I'd rather die than pay some taxes. Right. Like
well, he didn't pay taxes for like 7 years. That was gonna catch up on him.
Oh, I thought it was just 1 year. Like 1965.
It was like 76 to.
It was it was like it was like 7 years.
Oh, I didn't know.
I think he knew he knew that he fucked up and he got caught.
And for those unfamiliar, we found this out because someone was in the grave, buried alive.
Yeah. Yeah, someone was
and everyone thought the woman was crazy again.
Yeah.
Common theme.
They used to have that used to be a common thing in like coffins where like people would get buried alive.
Yeah.
And like they actually had bells that they put in coffins. It was like a string and it was like attached to a bell. And if it started ringing, like you
oh my goodness.
Like they would know that people were alive.
They would even
just leave me on the couch for a while.
They would even have like breath holes, like giant like straws that ran through the coffin up to the ground. So if somebody was alive, they could breathe through the holes.
Man, what it? I'm like just thinking about being buried alive. This is an intense Golden Girls. I thought it was just gonna be nice, no, like 80s is, colors, sunshine.
You're exactly right, and sometimes we get a very very serious episode, and like we'll have a guest, and then at the end we're like, we're sorry that you got such a dreadful. Like episode of like crazy sadness.
No, but it fits me.
I will say though, like it ends up happy or happier. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite a sad episode, as we've said before, but like it is like kind of it is intense for sure.
Right.
Just I guess like season 5, they wanted to open strong with the theme that death is all around us and we're all
it's like a Depeche Mode song. It's like,
yeah. That should have been the name of Golden Girls, is death is all around us.
Yeah. Yeah. That wasn't as catchy in like the trial runs of the series. Let's do something a little peppier.
Thank death you is all for around being us, girls. A death. Everybody dies all the time. Your heart will stop and we'll all probably die afterwards.
Hopefully you're not buried alive.
Hope that there is a bell that you can ring.
Thank you for putting these straws in my coffin.
So that was the opening of the second episode we watched. And so episode 2 starts off with, okay, it's a cameo. It's Harry from Empty Nest. And they're at the children's hospital that he works at. And Dorothy is just like for like a good 30 seconds, like pounding like silly putty in front of him, just like staring at him. I'm like, whoa, that's fucking intense.
Though it sounded fun. I don't know. Like I didn't really question why she did it. So,
well, she had all that anger. Yeah. That's where the... The I doctors felt, were in that.
I felt a sexualness in there.
You know what? It was flesh colored, which I thought was weird.
I didn't. I just went simple rage. I'm like, there's no sex involved in this. It's just anger. No, but I see where you guys are going. Well, and do you feel a little tension between her and?
Yeah, I did. I kind of thought it was going to go a little bit more romantic than it was. Maybe it does eventually. Yeah, she was like, "Oh, you believe me.
You're so strong and yeah, you listen to me." So, such a turn on.
He did call for like somebody to bring a little bit of urine mm-hmm, to them. Mm-hmm. So, maybe that was like the way to start things off.
I mean, that's usually how a date starts. There's a cup of urine.
Here's and some a child's with a mullet. Urine. Child with a mullet holding a little bit of urine from another child. I don't understand why she didn't go to Harry at first. You know, like.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Like, why your neighbor's a doctor. You probably see him.
Well, he's a pediatrician, though.
And remember, she's not 30 anymore.
Yeah, I know. We that established right. that in the last episode.
Right. But yeah. You could be like, yeah. You know what? I'm not feeling good. You know, like, yeah. You know, so she, because he was a child doctor, like, she just didn't want to bother him, you think?
How, I don't know how many seven-year-olds are rolling up with chronic fatigue syndrome, if we're being honest. I think that's an older person.
Yeah. Do you think...
Yeah.
Do you think chronic fatigue syndrome was, like, this epidemic back then that people weren't, like, able to figure out what was wrong with them? Like, that they had to make this sort of public service announcement, like, double episode about it?
I think it kind of was, like, the hot new disease. Like, kind of.
Like, people, like, just what was in the episode, like, people didn't believe you. Like, you were, it's kind of like the fibromyalgia, like, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
all of it wrapped up together. Like, you're sick, you're just, it's in your head. Like
it
you're
was
neurotic.
Like, it was the 1989 Zika virus.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I think it was an important kind of, their statement of, no, people are actually sick. Like, it is a real thing. People aren't just crazy. So
there was, like, a lot of, like, boys who cried wolf, maybe, and they were like, oh, let's write this episode about this stuff that's happening.
Well, I mean, I think also, too, like, when you're older, like, you go to the doctor more, and you kind of, I mean, I've definitely had this experience where, like, you think something's wrong and you kind of describe it to your doctor and they're like, I don't know. Maybe it's this. Maybe. I don't know.
I've
gone
to the doctor.
Did you just go through a bad breakup?
What was that?
I said, I get that. Did you just go through a bad breakup? Like, as a woman watching this, like, we've experienced this on, I don't want to speak for Genevieve, but
you're like,
we experience this on a very regular basis.
I have not had any doctors as sexist as the doctors.
Oh, man, I have. It's crazy. I actually had a doctor explain to me about, even though I was there for women issues, explain to me about the testicles and how sperm is made and the problems men could affect. And I was like, how does this have anything to do with my uterus?
Was it a girl, like, doctor, well, no, or a boy doctor?
No, it was a man. It was a man.
Oh. I'm like, why are you showing me your penis?
Maybe he,
put that away.
Maybe
wait,
he was
on.
Like,
let me look
I
at
could
it again.
Show you how sperm is made if you want.
Yeah, he's like, hey. But then you get the response, like, well, that's what you, well, you don't expect good health care in, like, the, you know, in the free health care system or the whatever. Well, I think I expect something a little bit better than that, you know?
It sounds like he just wanted to, it sounds like he just wanted to brag about his sperm knowledge.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you know what, at my age, I'm still making some, you know? Pretty good. My sperm count's pretty high.
There was a weird moment where, like, they compared the children peeing when the nurse is there, and, like, they compare the children's peeing to sex, and I was just like, whoa, that's kind of like,
oh, yeah, that's,
yeah,
right,
outside, like, in public or whatever, he can do it in his bed but not in public,
like, in, like, sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the,
yeah,
first,
and,
like, I think Harry is a fiddler. Uh-oh. Honestly.
Conspiracy. I don't know. That changes the whole thing.
I don't think he's a fiddler. I think he just, like, is very maybe, like, comfortable talking about sex and comparing like children's pee to sex, you know? Because,
well,
he's just,
I thought you were going to go about the broth, chicken broth and vegetable broth. Because he compared the pee to vegetable broth.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Chicken broth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or chicken soup. And he was like, well, if your pee looks like vegetable soup, we have a problem. But, like, if it looked like chicken soup, we didn't have a problem, which I get it with the broth.
Yeah.
But soup has chunks. Right. So I think they're each both bad.
They're both chunky.
Yeah, we don't want either.
Your pee should not look like a chunky soup.
Yeah.
That's another takeaway from this podcast.
Either way, why are you sending a child to get chicken broth for a grown woman in a very small amount? Like, this whole thing is so weird. Anyway, I don't know.
I don't know, but that's probably, you know, like, that's probably, you get a lot of pee jokes. You probably get a lot of pee jokes as a doctor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's probably his life. Like, there's that chicken chicken broth, like vegetable soup thing has probably been in his Rolodex for pee jokes for a long, long time.
That's the joke he hates doing, but he's still got to do. Like, yeah,
it's like this routine the boy and the nurse and him do every time there's like a patient. They just like try to do this whole like Elvis and Costello, like pee chicken broth sex bit.
I mean, it's like any job where you like you work at like people and you work with the public, like people just say the same things over and over again.
Yeah.
Like there's always when you work retail, there's always the thing where like you're checking someone out and there's something without a tag. And almost every time someone goes, oh, I bet it's free.
Yeah.
And that works sometimes, right?
Yeah. Sometimes you don't care. You don't care. And it's like, yeah, it is free.
Just take it. Leave.
Yeah, just leave right now. Don't get suspicious. Tables, don't take off security.
When I was a server, every time I dropped a check, there would be somebody that said, I didn't order that. And I'd be like, oh.
Oh, God.
I think this is a very, this yes, would be a fun yes, linguistic study. Like all of these and how we interact and how it's like, acceptable but not acceptable.
Yeah. And you just kind of have to, you have to laugh like you haven't heard it a bunch of times,
right?
And you're just like, they'll get mad at me if they'll think I'm taking them seriously.
Yeah, I'm like, what a hack. You're a hack customer.
Sometimes I miss working original. With the public because I'm in a cubicle all day, but then when I remember some of these interactions, I go, oh, but then there's that.
No, you don't miss it.
I miss interacting with people. And you're like, no, don't do it.
Okay. All right. So Harry tells her, you need to go to a specialist in this building who will tell you, who can help you. And, which is great. Very convenient that it's in Miami, you know. And then the next scene is Blanche's delusional scene where she's just like she hasn't slept in 3 days and she's kind of going nuts, right?
Yeah, she's not wearing any makeup. She does have a fabulous robe. I will mention
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely.
But she's acting like manic. Like she is like her eyes are swirling.
And yeah. She thinks she's seen little bags or a bag full of little sunshines, but they're egg yolks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Rose has saved.
I thought she was going to be like, was that like a sexual joke? Like, oh, bags of little sunshine. Like that's supposed to be like balls.
I didn't take it
that
way.
I didn't take it that way either.
Yeah, this is you. That is a,
okay. That is I had a different thing. Experience. Okay.
I was gonna say, there we go. Someone else's, the balls are coming all around.
Oh yeah,
stealing mouse balls, having bags full of egg yolks and little balls. So people do it. They store them somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Balls are part of our lives.
There's anything mouse, you take away today?
Mouse balls, yolk,
egg balls.
okay, and then so, and then. And then it ends with her saying, I love the, she says this line, and I felt like I've heard it before. She says, sleep, to sleep pertains to dream. And then she's like, oh my God, I need to write this down. It's so,
yeah, that so is cat. From, that's from Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. Is that Shakespeare?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's a,
is it?
She's such a
Midsummer Night's Dream. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I believe so.
We don't want to get it wrong, but we're pretty sure, like,
you guys are so smart.
So,
how did I not know that? See, you guys read Shakespeare. I read Push by Sapphire.
See, it was just a generation gap, you know?
Yeah.
We were typing and using liquid whiteout. None of this newfangled tape whiteout.
A 3-year generation gap.
Well, I mean, a Shakespeare movie, Romeo and Juliet, came out, a major motion picture came out, and we were like, I mean,
96, right?
Yeah, 96.
I just got it after Monkey Pants on Thursday at Zia because I needed some young Leo, and I was going to watch it this weekend, and I haven't done it yet. So maybe when I get home, because, you know, just watching him run around.
So
what movie were you
going to
watch?
The 1996 Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes version of Romeo and Juliet. Have you seen it?
I love that one.
Oh, right. And the soundtrack's so great. It's just great. I haven't seen it in a
Romeo
long time.
Romeo and Juliet, hot sex. In the passenger seat.
Yeah, it's the Baz Luhrmann one. It's great. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but that was, I mean, that was how, I mean, that was part of how we learned Shakespeare. Mm-hmm.
Leonardo
DiCaprio. That was the first
DiCaprio's
monologue I ever did on stage. From Romeo and Juliet when she took the poison.
Leonardo DiCaprio's best movies are when he, like, fucking dies at the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Titanic,
I think,
Romeo and Juliet.
I was just listening to a podcast.
What's that?
I was just listening to a podcast with Dana Gould, and Dana Gould said that he should be eaten by a bear in every episode, every movie that he's in.
Oh man, I agree with
him.
Let's
go back and make that happen.
Let's see, how many movies does he die in though? Okay, he dies in The Great Gatsby, Romeo and Juliet,
Titanic.
Does he die in Blood Diamond? I can't remember because he got shot at the end.
I don't remember. I haven't seen Blood Diamond in a long time.
His accent dies every once in a while, but comes back in the accent. It's not consistent.
Yeah, but write in if you know which movies he lives. Unfortunately, lives in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, he does live, but he was really close to dying.
God,
didn't he wear a mask? The mask or something? Like he was in an iron mask.
Yeah, I didn't
like
see
that
one.
In his heyday, like it was just like here's Leo in a mask, and it's like why am I going to watch this? That's not why I'm here.
No, I saw the preview for that, and I was like hard pass.
I think I saw it at the Dollar Theater.
So I didn't see Inception.
Oh,
but did he die in Inception?
Oh, Titanic. He dies in Titanic.
Of course, he dies in Titanic.
Did he die in? He got killed in Django Unchained, didn't he?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, I don't think he did. Did he?
Yeah, he did. Everyone died in that movie, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Except
Jamie
Foxx and, yeah.
Yeah.
The short term is.
He gets killed. He died in Growing Pains.
Did he die in Growing Pains?
No, I'm just kidding. I wish.
Wasn't he like an orphan?
Yeah, he was like Josh Seaver's like orphan friend.
That's where he got started, right?
Yeah.
That was like his discovery moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was how most people got discovered in the 80s is playing an orphan child.
Like, but what happened to the urine kid? We want to know what happened to the urine kid.
Yeah, I know. He kind of had like a Zachary Ty Bryan.
Oh, yes, before his day.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so the next scene is the Chinese doctor scene. And this was like... super like racist, like in a very nice Minnesota kind of way of like, I really like Chinese people. Let's list all of the things that I like about them that are stereotypes. And
yeah, like Sophia basically just has like positive racist like Tourette's. She just yeah.
She's very excited about it. And this is when she learns, Dorothy learns that she has chronic fatigue syndrome, and the guy's he's very like he's like the doctor you want to have, just like you're gonna be okay. It just makes it all better. Just like chill as fuck, CAF.
Yeah,
chill
he's
as fuck.
He's professional. He's he's not sitting real close to her and asking her if she's had a man in a while or telling her, barking at her that she's, you know, not 30 anymore and not a blonde. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, like, yeah, he was good.
And he also kind of was like, hey, not all doctors are clued into this and they don't have all the answers. So kind of making, like, a stand against that as well. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the more...
Not all doctors.
Not all... Hashtag not all doctors. And I think the moral of the story is that it takes a minority it takes a minority to not be a dick to you. So if you are finding that white dudes are being a dick to you, just go to a minority. It'll be okay.
Well, I'm going to get all serious about it. It was like, also, like, you know, it was like she had to believe in herself. Like, she knows her body. She knows her mind. Like, yeah. She knew something was wrong. She needed to, like, finally get someone to side with her. Because I don't, was it him who mentioned blame the victim? Or was that, which doctor said that?
It was him. He was like, some doctors just dismiss it. You know, like, mm-hmm. They blame the victim. Yeah, it was that guy. And so I was like, fuck yeah, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Loved him. And also, he didn't look, they kept calling him Chinese, but I thought he looked more Korean.
Yeah. But he didn't.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he didn't really want to discuss that, but Sophia just kept bringing it on. So, like, he was just like, yeah, okay. Nobody knows as much about Korean people, so like,
yeah,
we'll just, you're not gonna know anything about Korean food, I'm sure, Sophia, so we'll just
he was probably just not gonna correct her,
right? That's the big switch up in this whole episode.
Yeah.
The doctor was not even Chinese.
It's just like real life, guys. And so, okay. So the next scene, I think they're in the living room and Blanche is being denied, like her book is being denied by publishing companies. Is that right?
Yeah. Like, with her crazy book, like
that we never get to hear anything from.
Yeah.
Like, which killed me.
I mean, how good could have been. It was like four single subject notebooks filled over a weekend, over a manic weekend.
But the manuscript was quite large for that. When you say it like that. But she had that yellow, like that yellow outfit on was fabulous. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I did like that. So yeah,
it's a great rejection outfit.
Cause I was wondering like if she wrote, yeah, like how long did it take for her to finish this book, get it typed out and like printed and then sent out to publishers and then have enough time for them to like deny her, you know, all within like the same maybe couple of days. Like, yeah. It doesn't really.
Well, that's how fast the literary world works.
Yeah. Yeah. You it takes you as long as it takes you to read a book. That's how long it takes for you to publish a book, according to this. Okay, and so the next scene, they're at the restaurant. This is the final scene. They're at the restaurant, and
they're celebrating.
They're celebrating
her debilitating disease.
Yeah.
Yes, which I think all debilitating disease should be celebrated that way. It should just go without saying, right? And so,
yeah, move over birthdays.
yeah.
Good.
Can you imagine people coming out at Chili's? What would the song be? Oh my God.
Happy cancer to you. Happy.
I hear you got lupus. Oh. Got a rash across your body. Sorry, yeah. There's no cure.
We wish we had Zika virus so we could party too. Hey. And they're singing it to like a baby that was born with Zika virus. Okay. No. Anyway, moving on. baby shouldn't be out in the restaurant. So then Dorothy notices that doctor from New York, out of all people, is in that restaurant eating with his wife.
So he was blonde.
His blonde wife.
His blonde wife.
And this is Dorothy's fucking moment of glory. And she's like, I'm going to take this guy down right now. And it is glorious.
And she gets support from the other woman, too. So it's like...
Yeah.
We're assuming his wife, but it could have just been a lady, you know. You know how those men, those doctors like that are.
Yeah.
Got blondes in every city.
Yeah.
I think it's his wife because she's sick of his shit.
Yeah, like, she's like, I'm tired of hearing this guy. Yeah. He probably does the same thing to her.
Yeah, he's probably gets approached in almost every single. Yeah,
but she gets to live in a condo.
That's why they're in Miami, just trying to have dinner.
They're celebrating the debilitating disease of narrow-mindedness at that table.
Yes,
and so, so, dude, I was like, "Fuck yeah!" I like B. Arthur. Sometimes I'm just like, she is so fucking good. Like, at what she does, like, when given the opportunity, this was one of those moments. I was just like, fuck yeah, such a good actress.
Yeah, she kills it. Yeah, she just, I mean, she just lets him have it. She's like, you made me feel like a child. You made me feel dumb and helpless and, you know, like I was making all of this up. And yeah.
And
she didn't
to
lose
her
compassion either in the end, because she was like, one day you're going to be on the other side and I hope that you have, because she understands that regardless of the fact that he's a total ass, he deserves good care as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still relevant today.
He needs to see the movie The Doctor, starring William Hurt, about a callous doctor that goes through cancer treatment.
Oh, I've seen that.
Oh, shit.
It's very serious. Yeah. So
I want to see that. It was like a very Scrooge kind of like I hope, like, he didn't say you're right, maybe I'll change, so who knows. But I did like what Dorothy said. Like, she was like, if I was a man, then maybe you wouldn't have talked to me this way. And I thought that was really ahead of its time. You know, like, to fucking make that, you know, like the statement, you know, on TV.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, I was like, oh, that's what people say today, you know?
And it's so sad to think that it's still such a, all of this is still such a problem.
Yeah. It's still a problem.
Yeah. It may be even increasingly worse with how hectic the healthcare system is and.
Right.
How dismissive women's health is, and
not being able to pick your own doctor, like, get the one that you can afford, and then he's like a total dick. Mm-hmm. So, but this ends on a good, like, it ends on a good note, but also, like, I'm also like, it's weird because they never, like, the rest of this series, they don't talk about her fatigue syndrome. And that's, you know, so maybe it's a very mild, or she got over it or something like that, you know?
Well, they thought it was a virus, like, kind of a, like, virus, and like it was treatable.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But it's just weird that, like, it's just never brought up again. Like, oh yeah, remember Dorothy has fatigue syndrome? Like, that never happens.
Like, yeah, that's, I mean, it's the thing with 80s sitcoms, there is no, like, follow through. I mean, that's kind of like with a Rose's pill addiction.
Yeah.
Rose's a pill addiction? I forgot that one. Oh, man. Yeah. Have you already watched that? Is that in the early season? Yeah. I'm going to pull that up.
It's a
that
good one. It's with Chris Bennett and Leah Mansfield. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'll be doing something tonight. Yeah. Sorry. Theo's going to have to go on the back burner.
That one sparked a lot of conversation that was very near and dear to our guest's heart. So,
yeah.
So then, okay, then they have this little situation with the wine. It was $400. Rose ordered the best wine they had. And then Sophia pours salt into the wine and complains about it. And then that's how they get their wine comped. And also their entire
meals comped.
Yeah.
Great trick. Yeah. I don't know if waiters will walk up and taste your drink these days.
Yeah. I don't think they did this back then either.
And usually,
but I never ate at a fancy establishment like that. So.
Right.
He did have like a fancy French mustache. So, like,
maybe that waiter,
that's what they do.
Maybe that waiter was like an alcoholic and he was like, I'm not going to give up a chance to taste some wine on the clock. Right. Or he's just kind of weird, a weird waiter. Also, I think you need like the management to like approve such a like huge, like a huge comp.
I don't know. It's a like, fancy restaurant. He's probably empowered.
Yeah, maybe he's like a manager, waiter, or something. He's, you know, those
he's
are
a
annoying.
Shift leader.
She's a shift leader. I hate those when you're like, can I talk to the manager? And then like, I am the manager. When I'm like, well, you're a fucking idiot. Anyway. says someone that will probably be waiting to tables later this week. Anyway. Well, I think that's it. I think we did it. I think we did two episodes.
What? Yeah. Ooh, we talked about debilitating diseases and believe in women when they tell you something.
And in record time, baby.
What?
Yay. Ronnie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This is fun.
You were so much fun. And this comes out on September 7th. Is there anything that you would like to promote that comes out after that, or anything at all that you want people to find you online or not find you? They don't have to find you.
Well, it depends. So this comes out on September 7th. So just my basics. You can find me on Facebook under Ronnie D, on Twitter at Ronnie D Phoenix. That's Ronnie D PHX. And my website at stillnotmarried.com. as far yes. Not spoiler alert, single. and then show wise, I will be at Valley Bar on September 9th for literally the worst show ever. Queen's Pizza on September 17th. Ooh. In Mesa, and I will be up in the Big Pine Festival in Flagstaff, Arizona from September 22nd to the 24th. So
and you're headlining a show, right?
Oh. Yes. I believe it's on Thursday night. So cancel work on Friday. If you're from the Valley, come up and party with us on Thursday.
Yeah.
Super
cool.
Come
up on Thursday, and we're going through Saturday. So
it's going to be awesome. Yay. Weather's nice. Oh, and that's also autumnal equinox. What? For everybody who loves autumn, it's on its way. So yeah, so that's me.
Yay. So find Ronnie D. Go see her. She's super funny. And Genevieve, where are you going to be after September 7th?
All right. Well, I've also got Big Pine coming up. So that's going to be September 22nd through 24th. So and then after that, I'm doing Altercation Comedy Festival in Austin from September 28th through 30th. And then one day, October 1st, I'm going to be at Beast Village Comedy Festival in Des Moines.
Nice.
Des Moines, whoa. Iowa.
Nice.
Yeah. So yay. Very excited. yeah. And I'm at Genevieve Rice on all outlets. Pretty much just Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I have a Snapchat. I've mentioned it. I don't know how to use it because I'm over 30s and don't care. So.
Snapchat is so weird, and there's so many ads. Like, I want to find something, and there's like ads, and I'm like, anyway, it's frustrating. Anyway, I after September 7th, I'm going to be in El Segundo doing Dave Williamson's show.
Nice.
I forget where it is, but it's that day. September 19th.
Just go to El Segundo and just look around.
Yeah, go to El Segundo and try to feel the walls for laughter. And because you can feel it. You can feel the laughter. And September 19th, I'm going to be at the Comedy Store. I'm on Julie West's storytelling show. And it's a new show.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I think it starts in about an hour. I'm not going to perform tonight, but September 19th, I'm on it. But I might go support it tonight. Anyway, that's not irrelevant. But and then the next day, September 20th, I'm going to be at the Comedy Store again. I'm going to be in the roast battle show at 10:30 in the belly room. I'm going to be battling Alicia Cooper. What? Friend of the show. Super excited. She's super amazing. And I love her to death. And September 22nd, I'm going to be at Flappers at 7:30. And as Genevieve said, she mentioned the Altercation Comedy Festival in Austin. I'm going to be there as well. September 27th through the 29th. Super excited as well for that. And
that's gonna be great.
It's gonna be a sweet. And along with our own individual Twitters, the podcast also has a Twitter. It's at Thank You For Being a Podcast, but as an acronym, at TYFBAP at TIFBAP. Music is by Mike Dennison and Brian Kokernak. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other platform you use to listen to us today. The next episode of The Golden Girls is Season 5, Episode 3. And I forget the title, so we can make one up. Mouse
Dorothy's
balls.
Okay now.
Dorothy's okay now.
Yes. Okay, so listen to Season 5, Episode 3. Dorothy's okay now. You guys, thank you for listening and have a beautiful day and or night. Yay!
Thank you.
Gonna stuff a chicken. Gonna stuff the chicken. Like my mama taught me. Like my mama taught me. Gonna take the chicken down to Mississippi.